Chapter 29. We'll have some tea or something. I have never dined late, you know, since my husband's death. I have got into the way of making a regular meal of tea. You will have some tea with me, will you not? Apostrophe, the traveled man assented quite readily, and tea was brought in. They sat and chatted over the meal, regardless of the flying hour. Well, well. Apostrophe, said Barnett presently, as for the first time he leisurely surveyed the room, how like it all is, and yet how different. Just where your piano stands was a board on a couple of trestles, bearing the patterns of wallpapers, when I was last here. I was choosing them standing in this way, as it might be. Then my servant came in at the door, and handed me a note, so. It was from Down, and announced that you were just going to be married to him. I chose no more wallpapers, tore up all those I had selected, and left the house. I never entered it again till now. Apostrophe, ah, at last I understand it all, apostrophe, she murmured. They had both risen and gone to the fireplace. The mantle came almost on a level with her shoulder, which gently rested against it, and Barnett laid his hand upon the shelf close beside her shoulder. Lucy, apostrophe, he said, better late than never. Will you marry me now? Apostrophe, she started back, and the surprise which was so obvious in her wrought even greater surprise in him, that it should be so. It was difficult to believe that as he had been quite blind to the situation, and yet all reason and common sense went to prove that she was not acting. You take me quite unawares by such a question. Apostrophe, she said, with a forced laugh of uneasiness. It was the first time as he had shown any embarrassment at all. Why, apostrophe, she added, I couldn't marry you for the world. Apostrophe, not after all this. Why not? Apostrophe, it is I would, I really think I may say it, I would upon the whole rather marry you, Mr. Barnett, than any other man I have ever met, if I ever dreamed of marriage again. But I don't dream of it, it is quite out of my thoughts. I have not the least intention of marrying again. Apostrophe, but on my account, couldn't you alter your plans a little? Come. Apostrophe, dear Mr. Barnett, apostrophe, she said with a little flutter, I would on your account, if on anybody's in existence. But you don't know in the least what it is you are asking, such an impracticable thing, I won't say ridiculous, of course, because I see that you are really in earnest, and earnestness is never ridiculous to my mind. Apostrophe, well, yes, apostrophe, said Barnett more slowly, dropping her hand, which he had taken at the moment of pleading, I am in earnest. The resolve, 2 months ago, at the Cape, to come back once more was, it is true, rather sudden, and as I see now, not well considered. But I am in earnest in asking. Apostrophe, and I in declining. With all good feeling and all kindness, let me say, that I am quite opposed to the idea of marrying a second time. Apostrophe, well, no harm has been done, apostrophe, he answered, with the same subdued and tender humorousness that he had shown on such occasions in early life. If you really won't accept me, I must put up with it, I suppose. Apostrophe, his eye fell on the clock as he spoke. Had you any notion that it was so late? Apostrophe, he asked. How absorbed I have been. Apostrophe, she accompanied him to the hall, helped him to put on his overcoat, and led him out of the house herself. Good night, apostrophe, said Barnett, on the doorstep, as the lamp shone in his face. You are not offended with me? Apostrophe, certainly not. Nor you with me? Apostrophe, I'll consider whether I am or not, apostrophe, he pleasantly replied. Good night. Apostrophe, she watched him safely through the gate, and when his footsteps had died away upon the road, closed the door softly, and returned to the room. Here the modest widow long pondered his speeches, with eyes dropped to an unusually low level. Barnett's urbanity under the blow of her refusal greatly impressed her. After having his long period of probation rendered useless by her decision, He had shown no anger, and had philosophically taken her words, as if he deserved no better ones. It was very gentlemanly of him, certainly. It was more than gentlemanly. It was heroic and grand. The more she meditated, the more she questioned the virtue of her conduct in checking him so peremptorily, and went to her bedroom in a mood of dissatisfaction. On looking in the glass, she was reminded that there was not so much remaining of her former beauty as to make his frank declaration an impulsive natural homage to her cheeks and eyes. It must undoubtedly have arisen from an old staunch feeling of his, deserving tenderest consideration. She recalled to her mind with much pleasure that he had told her he was staying at the Black Bull Hotel, so that if, after waiting a day or two, he should not, in his modesty, call again, she might then send him a nice little note. To alter her views for the present was far from her intention, but she would allow herself to be induced to reconsider the case, as any generous woman ought to do. The morrow came and passed, and Mr. Barnett did not drop in. At every knock, light youthful hues flew across her cheek, and she was abstracted in the presence of her other visitors. In the evening she walked about the house, not knowing what to do with herself. The conditions of existence seemed totally different from those which ruled only 24 short hours ago. What had been at first a tantalizing elusive sentiment was getting acclimatized within her as a definite hope, and her person was so informed by that emotion that she might almost have stood as its emblematical representative by the time the clock struck 10. In short, an interest in Barnett precisely resembling that of her early youth led her present heart to belie her yesterday's words to him, and she longed to see him again. The next day she walked out early, thinking she might meet him in the street. The growing beauty of her romance absorbed her, and she went from the street to the fields, and from the fields to the shore, without any consciousness of distance, till reminded by her weariness that she could go no further. He had nowhere appeared. In the evening she took a step which under the circumstances seemed justifiable. She wrote a note to him at the hotel, inviting him to tea with her at 6 precisely, and signing her note Lucy. In a quarter of an hour the messenger came back. Mr. Barnett had left the hotel early in the morning of the day before, but he had stated that he would probably return in the course of the week. The note was sent back, to be given to him immediately on his arrival. There was no sign from the inn that this desired event had occurred, either on the next day or the day following. On both nights as he had been restless, and had scarcely slept half an hour. On the Saturday, putting off all diffidence, Lucy went herself to the Black Bull, and questioned the staff closely. Mr. Barnett had cursorily remarked when leaving that he might return on the Thursday or Friday, but they were directed not to reserve a room for him unless he should write. He had left no address. Lucy sorrowfully took back her note, went home, and resolved to wait. She did wait years and years, but Barnett never reappeared. April 1880. Interlopers at the Knapp. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.